With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to a Friday edition of the Managing Madrid podcast. This is the Real Sociedad win post-game pod. Kian is away today, so Ridhiam and I are going to hold the fort and break it down to you. Ridhiam, welcome to the show, and how are you?
Thank you. I'm not bad, to be fair. I just wanted a win and we got a win, so yeah, not bad. How are you?
Yep, I'm good. Yeah, we wanted a win, and considering the starting 11 that we put out, it's probably a very welcome win. We're just 4 points away from lifting the title, provided that Barcelona win their next two games. If Barcelona drops points in any of their next two games, we can basically wrap the league with a win over Cadiz next weekend. But before that, we have a bunch of things to cover, actually. So let's start with the starting 11, Ridhiam. We did see reports even beforehand that there are going to be heavy rotations. Personally, I did not necessarily believe all those reports, because I was thinking that since the league is not mathematically over, Carlo probably would not rotate as much, and he will see the league through first and then just rotate heavily a lot. But much to my surprise, he did rotate heavily. Militao got a start, Arda Güler got a start, Joselu got a start after a while, so did Brahim. Tchouaméni and Modric have been among playing time, but they still got significant minutes today as well. Carvajal came back, Nacho came back. So what did you make of the starting 11 to start with?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it, mainly because of what you said, but also that we requested La Liga for an extra day off for Bayern, and then we just rotated mostly every single player. Yeah, but it was good to see, like, Güler starting, Militao obviously, Ceballos even, although I didn't really like his performance that much. Yeah, I mean, I think it was a good surprise, I think, yeah.
Yep, and how the game started, considering our starting 11, I wasn't surprised how things started to look like, at least for the first 15-20 minutes. Larreal were enjoying a lot of the possession. Real Madrid were... It was a bit strange because we were sitting back, and then again, when Alex Ramiro will have the ball and try to play it out from the back, we would press like really aggressively high. That was kind of signs of a team that doesn't really play much together, the players that were on the pitch. So where do you want to go next from here? Do you want to go cover specific players, or what's on your mind, or we should just, you know, make it an Arda Güler hype podcast for the next half an hour?
I mean, we could, but like, I just wanted to point out, because I didn't really tweet during the game from my own account that much. Mm-hmm. Real Madrid in the first half, when they were pressing, the aggressive press was there, but it was only like the midfield and the attack. The defense was in a completely different zone, and there was so much space in the middle, where Real Sociedad really, really hurt us, I think. They didn't score, obviously. I don't think they had decent XG, but Yeah, the second half, I think the press really improved a lot. What do you think?
Second half, I think Real Sociedad got a bit tired as well. And this is going to be like this is completely non-scientific, but I thought as soon as the rain stopped, we started playing a little bit better. We were really kind of like struggling in the rain, but I think as soon as the rain stopped, our players like started stitching the passes together. Let's actually go ahead and talk about the goal, because it was like within the first half an hour of the game and came really against the run of play. I'm just gonna go ahead and share my screen so that we just posted the stats for the game from the Real Deal account. Let's take a quick look at that. All right. I hope you guys are seeing my screen. So if we see like the expected threat flow and also touches in the attacking third, we were getting like completely cooked at that point in time. But the goal came from a really nice move. I think originated from Tchouaméni. He played a really nice pass to Dani Carvajal. And Carvajal has been really great with these kind of, venomous crosses this season. Guler, he started the game kind of in that right half space area or in the middle, but I was impressed that he had the presence of mind to make himself available as an outlet on the left when he connected, and it was a really good connection. He'd like nutmeg the goalkeeper as well. What did you make of the goal?
Oh, the goal was, I think it was really nice. Especially, I think Tchouaméni's pass was like 50% of that goal. It was exceptional. I think it was like, it was Toni Kroos written all over that pass. I think he was off balance as well while he was passing it to Carvajal. I might be wrong, but yeah, Carvajal has been awesome all season, all his career really, with these crosses. His first time cross as well, which was like, it was just really difficult to do on such a high level and with such consistency. But yeah, Guler had the presence of mind to, move around. He was swapping places with Brahim and Hosolu plenty of times, even Ceballos as well. So yeah, that goal, I think it was against the run of play, but it was a really, really nice goal.
Yeah, true. It was a really, really nice goal. At the time of scoring, he had only played, I think, about like 60 minutes of La Liga football and two goals. Today's goal is obviously a winner. His previous goal was, I think, the fourth goal in a 4-0, but really good for his confidence. But this is good. I think this is really great that even in the minutes that he's getting, he's actually he doesn't seem like a player who needs a lot of time to get into his stride. Guler, outside of the goal, I think did good defensive work, especially in the first half, I thought. In the second half, there was, I think, that like one crazy dribble that he did that got everyone riled up. And overall, I think he deserves the minutes because Ancelotti had actually mentioned in the press conference that he works really hard in training, and this was like a reward. Speaking of rewards, I do want to talk about another player, and that's Kepa. He made some really good saves today. I think at least a couple of like goal-saving saves. And while we are talking about rewards, Kepa's inclusion in the starting 11 also comes as a reward, basically, because he also has been a really good professional since he has moved to Real Madrid. He has made no issues. He was brought in as originally as the starting keeper ahead of Lunin, lost his place to Lunin, but has like stuck by the team, been really professional in training and also during games we saw against Manchester City. I think his performance was pretty good. What do you think?
Might have to disagree with you. Well,
Okay.
on some level, I think his couple of saves that he made, especially with the shot where I think it was Kubo in the first half, that was a really good save. He made a couple of good saves, but I think he was really, really like, usual nervy when it would just for example, that I think his positioning in that Mikel Oyarzabal chip, I think it was a bit odd.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Did that actually bounce off Rudiger, or that was just he just like put it wide? Or is that about the chip?
I originally thought it was just wide, but he gave a corner off of it, so
Okay, okay,
ref,
okay.
yeah. Apart from that, I think His goalkeeping and set pieces, well, like corners, was actually better than usual. Mm-hmm. But he did have some nervy moments, which I did not like. Which is, I think it's also like kind of unfair to criticize him for all that when he's not played for I don't know how long. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it is Real Madrid and the margin of error is thin. So I think he could have done a little bit better there. But yeah, I mean, two good saves were really good saves. So yeah.
Yep. We are actually going to go ahead and take a look at some more player stats. So, unsurprisingly, Larial players really dominated the game, like on individual levels. And when you're talking about individual stats, Zubeldia was the player with the most passes, basically. And as we see, like in the top five with the most passes, there is only Luka Modric. Modric had a good game. We will come back to Modric, even in terms of ball recoveries and tackles. Again, Larial dominate with Mikel Merino, Tchouameni being one of the players from Real Madrid was defensively very proactive. And in terms of ball progression, Kubo was great. He kept Fran Garcia on alert pretty much the whole game, and he was like, we could see like he was one of the protagonists of the Larial side. And anything else from this that picks your brain, or anything, any player in particular you would like to talk about next?
I think Kubo was really good, but I also think Fran Garcia did a good job of containing him to an extent. Obviously, mm-hmm. Kubo did have his dangerous moments, but I think especially in the first half, Fran Garcia was really solid defensively. He was he wasn't giving Kubo that much space. Sometimes he obviously lost the duel, but he was surprisingly very good defensively, I think.
Yeah, and I think when Kubo scored the goal that got disallowed, like I was like, of course, it's a former Real Madrid player that scores. And didn't he actually score in a game against us before? Like, I might be making this up, but I feel like he has actually scored in a actual game for us as well. The Kubo and Fran Garcia duel was good to watch, and it was good to see that the goal got disallowed correctly. Of course, Tchouameni was fouled in the build-up. So these are some of the ball progression clusters that we have for this game. Larial were mostly focused on the left in terms of their top two out of the top three passing clusters, but the green you see for Larial is basically focused on Kubo because he was that outlet on the right, and the progressions pretty much justify that as well. Real Madrid were not as good in possession, of course, in this game. So the less we probably talk about, the better. We are going to take a quick peek at the pass networks as well. Modric was obviously the Madrid player as someone who would bind the midfield together. Really, he had some misplaced passes here and there, but I think overall, it was good on Carlo that he at least started one out of Modric or Cruz as that senior figure, as that calm figure, because I didn't really see much of that from Ceballos. I cannot rate his game too highly today, Dani Ceballos, that is. Tchouameni was okay, Modric was okay in midfield. Any thoughts on Modric or Ceballos?
Yeah, Ceballos, I think he was a bit slow on every single, not every single, but like most possessions that he had. I think he was just taking a touch too long, touch too much, sorry. And, I don't think he had, like, he has played any good games this season, really. And he hasn't played a lot, obviously, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, it is what it is. But he did not help his case at all today. Modric, on the other hand, I think he was really good. I think he was the one midfielder that I was like, you know what, he is trying to calm things down for Real Madrid. And as the game went on, he improved a lot as well. He had, I think, he has 59 passes, completed 91.5% of them, four out of four accurate long balls. I think it was a really tidy performance from him. And as always, he got a standing ovation from Real Sociedad as well.
Yeah, of course, that's kind of become like a norm everywhere Real Madrid travel. Modric walks out of there with a standing ovation. You're talking about Dani Ceballos being a bit slow in possession. Speaking of slowness, I'm going to slowly build this up. So I think there is some like even long-term things to even discuss about Eder Militao. This was his first start since he basically tore his ACL against Athletic Club at the beginning of the season. So Ancelotti gives him this start along with Nacho and then brings on Rudiger at the end of the game for Nacho, not Militao. Militao gets his full 90. What do you think happens from here? Does he start against Bayern? Did he play 90 minutes today because Ancelotti wants to start with him in Munich? Or this is just, you know, slowly bringing him back to match fitness for wherever or whenever he plays regularly next? Because I don't think I want him to play against Bayern or like start against Bayern. I would like to hear your thoughts and then probably share mine.
Yeah, I agree. I think Militao started this game and played the whole 90 minutes because Ancelotti knew he wasn't going to play against Bayern, or if he does, it's not going to be like, you know, he's not going to start. I think it's more about match fitness. I wouldn't really put him against Bayern because, well, he wasn't bad today, definitely, but I don't think he's regained that match fitness quite yet. He's only played one full game. Maybe he would start against Bayern at the Bernabeu, but I don't think he starts at the Allianz Arena.
Yeah, regarding Militao, why I was talking about like slowness, I think his overall game was okay. He made some good tackles, won the aerial duels when needed, as he usually does. But I didn't see him really quick off his feet. This could be a mental thing that he, you know, his ACL was torn. He's always subconsciously even a bit more careful than usual. It can be a case of that, or it can just be a case of that he's not physically fit enough to put in those kind of strides. In any case, I liked his performance from the point of view that I would be fine as long as like he starts again against Cadiz, or like he starts every La Liga game from here on. I don't mind that, but I think in Munich you'll need a player with more agility, with more, you know, match sharpness and match fitness. And Nacho has been pretty much been fine since that Manchester City second leg. I liked Nacho's game today as well. I think he has always been an underrated vertical passer from the back, because there are certain things that Nacho doesn't do well, and there's always so much scrutiny and focus on those areas. And when we talk about like the good things, we talk about the loyalty, we talk about the longevity at the club and things like that. But there are like certain technical things about his game as well, which benefit Real Madrid from time to time. And I think his vertical passing from the back is one of those. Until like Rudiger came on, Nacho was the defender who was doing all the heavy lifting mostly, I think, in this game. So I would be completely okay if it's Nacho and Rudiger starting against Bayern.
It could be Rudiger and Tchouaméni.
Yeah, it could be Rudiger and Tchouaméni as well. But it feels like, I mean, I don't definitely know, of course, but it feels like Carlo, if everyone is fit, Carlo would want two center backs there, which he didn't, of course. I think it was the first leg against, wasn't it the first leg or the second leg against Man City when Tchouaméni started?
First leg,
right? Yeah. And another thing is like Camavinga was rested today, so you might think that why was he rested today if he's not going to start on Tuesday. So if Camavinga is starting in midfield, you probably see Tchouaméni in the center back. But it's fine. Even if Tchouaméni and Rudiger are starting against Bayern, I think if you have players like Nacho and Militao coming off the bench when we are actually defending a close lead to close out the game in Munich, I don't mind Militao coming into the game at that point in time. All right. Anything else from the second half that caught your eye specifically?
It's a very minor detail. It doesn't really matter that much, but I think we were talking about Mathieu. I think his long balls again were really good today. He did have some like inaccurate ones, but in the second half, I think most of them were really good. He also like he had a chance where it wasn't his chance, but he passed it to, I think it was Brahim. I'm not sure. And then there was a scuffle between Brahim and Arda Güler, and they just, yeah, it was, I think it was offside anyway, but that was like off balance sort of long ball that it was really good. And I think just taking that into account, I think it's going to be an asset for Mathieu, where even if he has lost, you know, even if he's like a bit slow today, I think his long balls were spot on today.
Joselu had a really quiet game, I thought. We didn't really see him do much. His hold up play is like his hold up play. It's sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not that good. He got that one chance after Vinicius came on. Vinicius that laid off that cross into the box, and he just missed it completely. I can like bet anything on anything that if this was like Espanyol Joselu and the opponent was Real Madrid, that's going like top corner. Absolutely no doubt. But anyways, but he got his chance to start. He got some minutes there, but nothing specifically to talk about him. When Vinicius, Fede, and Camavinga came on, I think the game opened up even more in Madrid's favor. But Vinicius was also like he wasn't really playing a serious game, I thought today. He was just there to run for a bit, get some match rhythm, I think. That's all. But his touches were all over the place. The touch for the Joselu miss was pretty good. But outside of that, I can understand like he doesn't really need to take on players aggressively in this kind of a game. Any thoughts on Vinicius's cameo?
Not really. I mean, he had like a couple. I think he got the ball and just he had this really bad touch and just loses it like immediately after. He had a couple of that, a couple of those. But yeah, that one pass to Hossa was really good. Apart from that, really, he didn't really do anything.
True. We didn't see any of Jude or Rodrigo, of course. Jude was, in the squad in place of Rodrigo, who is also ill, but Carlo decided not to go with Jude anyway. That's fine. He didn't really need to. Apart from that, Artem Dobvik is probably going to take a bigger lead in the Pichichi table now. But yeah, that's the sacrifice I think you can willingly make in terms of resting him for a big Champions League game. Outside of that, Fede got I think his first decent rest in a long, long while, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the last game he rested was in January. I'm not, I could be wrong, but it's been a while.
And it's so curious, like we don't really realize that he has been in this unreal streak of playing every game, because Fede last season even has had injury issues. So this kind of consistency throughout the season we haven't really seen from him in terms of physicality and in terms of health even. But yeah, it's really great to see. And Carlo, I think, is just resting him at the right time, because this is the time you don't want him to get a niggle or a knock or anything of that sort. Obviously, Ferland Mendy rested for this game as well. You think all of them will be in good health and in good shape for Munich?
I think Mendy is the biggest doubt out of all three. Bellingham will obviously play. Rodrigo, I think he will come back as well. Mendy, he hasn't played, but I was on a podcast with Ken yesterday, and I think from what I've seen from the reports, I think he will start. I think he's just being, you know, cautious with because he's had a like a really bad injury record, so I think he's just being cautious with it. He might not start. Obviously, that's a case. Who would you start if he doesn't start?
I think Camavinga naturally. Then Nacho starts at center back. Tchouaméni goes to the midfield, and Camavinga. Did you see the Tuchel warned that Gnabry will start and he will score. And he spoke, I think, at length about Real Madrid, like that, how you can, you don't really see when a Real Madrid goal arrives. They're so good in transitions. He really put like high praise on Real Madrid's transition.
Ooh,
I feel like whenever any coach or any opponent person is praising you a lot for your transitions, there is a slight slander hidden to it. I don't know. I mean, it just feels like that they're telling that, okay, this is the only way you can play. But Tuchel knows better, of course, and Tuchel is also one of the, you know, new rivals in Europe for Madrid. Knocked us out in 2021, then got knocked out by us in 2022. He was obviously not there in 23. Was Tuchel in charge for some part of the season in 22-23 and then Lampard took over, or was it Lampard from the beginning? Chelsea like changes coaches so many times, man. Like I don't have any track of that.
22-23, it was, I think, Tuchel at the start. He made all his signings and there were a couple of bad results and he got sacked. And then I think, was it Potter that came in?
Oh yes, then Potter came in. When we beat Lampard at some point in time. Was it after Potter?
Yeah, probably. I think so. Yeah.
Probably. And I think Tuchel went out pretty soon after, like he had that whole fight with Conte. Mm. Yeah. That was that season. But anyways, Riedhiam, I think we have pretty much covered all of our players, and this game didn't really have too many, you know, notable incidents or events to discuss at length apart from the goal. But what Real Madrid take back from this game is obviously 3 points and all of their starters, or I should say probably most of their starters, fit for the Bayern Munich game. I think Real Madrid travel to Munich on Monday and they play on Tuesday. But in any case, thank you so much, Riedhiam, for hopping on the call. I hope Kian likes this when he listens to this. I think it's been a while since he has not been on a post-game podcast. We obviously cover other parts of the show, but post-game is kind of Kian's thing. Mm. But it was a good chat, Riedhiam. Thanks so much. We will
Thanks for having
here,
me.
And we'll see you guys soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.